This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 8th of October, 2014, and my name is Patrick Smith. We've got a great show for you this week, guys, with the doubleheader against Cardiff just past us and a fantastic four-point weekend for the Belfast Giants. Davey and the coach join me to talk about the weekend, as they always do. We also look at the physicality in the game. Is it fading out? We give a big congratulations to Bobby Robbins. We look ahead to the visit at Dundee, and we hear the thoughts of Mike Compan, Steve Thornton, and Andrew Lord. And with Andrew Lord being on the show, we ask you, who is the best Lord? Lord of the Rings, of the Flies, or of the Dance? You can contact us, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast, @AVFTB on Twitter, and soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all of our interviews. Aha! We hoped that the Belfast Giants would bounce back after the 6-1 defeat to the Fife Flyers last weekend, and we did. A four-point weekend for the Giants at the Odyssey against the Cardiff Devils. And to look at the weekend and to look ahead, as always, first of all, I'm joined by a man who in the last 24 hours hasn't been feeling too well. How are you, Davey?
Not bad, Pat. I'm feeling a wee bit better tonight. Thank you very much.
Good man. And also a man who picks up the trophy for his championship in cricket this weekend, Neil the Coach Russell. How are you, mate?
I'm doing very well, Patrick. Looking forward to the weekend.
Good man. Gentlemen, two games against Cardiff this weekend, as we said, and they were both wins for the Belfast Giants. Let's start off by talking about Friday. A 3-2 victory in what was both an Elite League and Conference game. Giants' goals came from two for Compan, which brought him to 200 career goals, and one from Adam Keefe. The Devils' goals came from Marsh and Morissette. Davey, as I said, the Giants were looking for a reaction to last weekend's shock defeat to Fife, and they were a bit slow out of the traps.
Yeah, it would be hard to argue with that. You know, we got the reaction and that we got the win, but, you know, as you say, very slow out of the traps. I think that certainly the two goals we conceded on Saturday night, or Friday night, sorry, one of them, fair enough, was on the power play, but I think two massive lapses of concentration, as much as anything, from the D-man, you know, especially that first one, we made a really bad decision and it's cost us badly. The D-man's jumped in off the point as well, and the forwards hasn't covered that. I think it was Kevin Surratt on the right-hand side there hasn't covered Marsh jumping in, and they've got the go-ahead goal. But, you know, credit that Compan's power play goal himself, albeit on the 5-on-3, was a special way to get off the mark at the Odyssey, and best thing that came out of the night was the 3-2 win.
Well, that's it, Coach, isn't it? You know, the Devils held the lead twice in that game, but they didn't hold it at the when the final buzzer went, despite, well, the Giants were slow out of the traps, despite the fact that, personally, I didn't think it was the most convincing of performances. The statistics at the end is that Giants 3, Devils 2.
Yeah, that's the only thing that matters. You know, at the end of 60, if the Giants are ahead, then happy days for us because we're picking up the points. But, you know, you guys have already alluded to it, and, you know, something that was very, very apparent right from the get-go. You know, and we have discussed this on many, many occasions. You know, we are just that wee bit off the pace. And, you know, on Friday night, I thought we were off the pace again. We came out slow, and as I say, we have mentioned this many, many times about the Belfast Giants, and you know, I certainly left the game on Friday evening happy to see the likes of Mike Compan starting to kind of click. You know, this guy has come in with a proven pedigree. You know, I was really excited to kind of see him in a Giants jersey, and that was a definite plus point. But as Davey alludes to there, defensively we were still just off our usual best, kind of getting opened up a wee bit too often for my liking, and a wee bit too easily for my liking as well. And I think the game overall, and I know again we have discussed this at length both on the podcast and between ourselves, I felt on Friday night our overall level of physicality in the game throughout the 60 was quite poor as well. And you know, certainly leaving the Odyssey Arena, I thought great to pick up the 2 points, but you know, was still plenty to work on.
Physicality in the Giants game and physicality in the game in general is something we'll come to definitely later in the show. But Davey, the Devils themselves, you know, they've players like Haddad, players like Lord, Hotham, who are, you know, chippy guys, but guys are getting right in your face. But for me, the standout player was the man between the pipes and Ben Barnes, and it was maybe It was a great benefit to the Giants, but unfortunate for Bounds the way that the winning goal went in.
Yeah, he had a good game. You know, if I'm going to be harsh about it, the shot perhaps from Jeff Mason hit him more than hit him more than he saved it. But he still had to try and get his body across the net from a sprawling position. And I think it was maybe four years ago when the Steelers won the league. And we went to Ice Sheffield, basically win the game, win the league. And Sheffield came away with the win that night and ended up winning the league. And it was those real garbage goals. I think they either got one or two in the night where they crashed the net and there were scrambles around the net and they ended up getting the goal. That's the kind of goal that third goal was. Everyone, you could have threw a blanket over the five Giants players. It was just, we're do or die here. You know, with 20 seconds left in the game, we really, really need this point. And that, more than anything, was the story of Friday night for me, is that we went to the final buzzer in search of that goal and we got it with 20 seconds to go. And you know, it'll not say, you know, I can't remember if it was Murph or who was commentating, it'll not say in the history books that it was an ugly winner, it was 20 seconds, just that we got the 2 points. And I suppose that's, you got to take that, and then they took that and moved into Saturday night.
But how,
I think, sorry,
before you come in, just the fact that something Davey brings up there is the fact that that's happened quite a bit this season, and we're only about a month and a half into the season where the Giants have had to wait to the last minute, the last 2 minutes, to either force overtime or take the win. It, you know, don't get me wrong, it's exciting, but is it another example where this Giants team just really need to step up a gear?
Yeah, it probably is. You know, in terms of our overall, it's kind of a conundrum in some ways and kind of quite strange, because I think certainly leading into the weekend, we were 1-2-3 in terms of the overall Elite League scoring charts with Chevrolet, Sawada and Colin Shields. Maybe that has changed over the course of the weekend. I haven't actually looked, to be brutally honest with you, but certainly we were going 1-2-3. But, you know, some of our players just aren't clicking at present, and our secondary scoring maybe just is making certain games that we were winning by maybe 2 or 3 goals last season, all of a sudden those games are becoming one goal games. And you know, we've said it already, I still think that we're off our best at present. Now on the Sunday, and I know we're going to come, or sorry, on the Saturday night, the second game of the doubleheader, we were a lot better, a lot more like ourselves, but certainly on that Friday night, as I've already alluded to, we're just still off the beaten track a wee. But the point that I was going to make was, a guy who I saw in pre-season for the Cardiff Devils, Doug Clarkson, who did not impress me in the slightest, played a lot better on Friday night. I was impressed when he set up that goal for Tyson Marsh, working hard, winning the battles behind Stephen Murphy's goal there down low. But it was his silly penalty in tripping Calvin Elfring. And there was a bit going on behind the play with Clarkson and Elfring. And Elfring got under his skin, and Clarkson kind of took exception to that, chased after him a wee bit. Elfring nipped in, got the puck, and Clarkson just inadvertently just stuck the stick out and tripped him up. And that gave the Giants a chance on the power play towards the end of that game. And I know Kelman was absolutely furious about it afterwards, because it was a really silly penalty after a really good road performance from the Cardiff Devils.
Just to let you know on your question there, Coach, the top four scorers in the Elite League are still Evan Chevrolet, Ray Sawada, and then Michael Forney and Bobby
Chamoun.
There we go. The highlights of this game, this 3-2 win against the Cardiff Devils on Friday night, are available on kingdomofthegiants.com. Thanks to our good friends at Giants Live TV. And as you both have said, Cardiff Devils returned to the Odyssey the following night, Saturday night, in another Elite League and Conference matchup, and the Belfast Giants with a more convincing 5-2 win. 2 goals for Lloyd, 1 for Sawada, 1 for Compton, his third of the weekend, and Cody Brookwell with a bizarre empty net goal. Cardiff Devils goals from Richardson and Marsh, his second of the weekend. And Davey, a more competent performance?
Coming out a wee bit sharper, yes. Getting the go-ahead goal is always important, especially at home. And, you know, leading at the end of the second period, we're 5-0 for the season. So I think coming out early is important to us. We're 5-3 first period, but after second period, if we're leading after second period, you know, we haven't been beaten this season. So I think it's important for the guys to come out and get those go-ahead goals. But, you know, once again, Ray Sawada took his goal absolutely fantastically, albeit another funny bounce off a stanchion, you know, put him in one-on-none with Bounds, but he finished with real high level of skill. And then you know, you pick out standout goals. Loiter's two goals, the baseball finish, and the breakaway where he's held off one man, one hand the stick, and then gone forehand, backhand, and stuck in the roof. Absolutely fantastic goal. And then two shorthanded goals to wrap the game up.
Yeah, I'm just looking at our, we've asked for another three word weekend reports, and most of them seem to revolve around Daryl Lloyd, Alan Price with forehand, backhand goal, and amazing Daryl Lloyd coming through there as well. And coach, you know, all the goals I think that the Giants scored were pretty special, I think, in this game, but Daryl Lloyd comes in for some significant praise.
He has done from the very first game of the season. You know, he's come into the season in peak condition. He's got himself, he just looks incredibly fit. And he's come into this season ready to go. And he has, for me, been a major standout in our side so far this season. And, you know, he was a standout on Friday night. He was the one guy out of the team, and maybe along with Davey Phillips, who was willing to take the body and kind of play the usual high-energy game that we are used to now with Daryl Lloyd in that heartbeat line. But his goals, as Davey already says, on Saturday night were absolutely superb. That forehand, backhand goal was a thing of beauty. And what a great stretch pass. I think it was from Robbie Sandrock to pick him out. Great control from Loiter. Great pace as well. Took the puck at pace. And, you know, he's one of the quickest skaters in the league. And you don't normally associate Daryl Lloyd with that kind of skill and that type of finishing quality, and I think Thorch alludes to that in his post-game interview with me and said, you know, he has been surprised with Lloyd's overall level of finishing ability. And absolutely, at this stage of the season, he has been the standout player for us.
Davey, as I said, Ray Sawada again was another player that we've maybe thrown a bit of criticism at in the last couple of weeks, not becoming the player or playing as the player we want him to be, but it was his reach and pass to Evan Chevrier that sort of cemented that goal. It was a fantastic move.
Well, maybe certain quarters have said he isn't the player you want to be, but I think you'll back me up when I say it, and especially in our private conversations together, I've been, you know, saying, watch this guy. Every shift that he has on the ice, he gets a goal scoring opportunity because he puts himself in the right place in the ice. But his pass for Compton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Head up all the time. Good players all play with their heads up, and he sucked the D man in. Big long reach around the corner. Compton's on the train tracks. He just has to hammer it home, and it's absolutely fantastic play. He's got himself a goal and assist on Saturday night, but maybe that physical play was upped considerably on Saturday night, and maybe just needs to be playing with that little edge in his game. Who knows, getting the go ahead goal in the game, getting the first goal, maybe just settled him down. He was able to play more of his game. I think he's been outstanding this season. Granted, he hasn't scored. That's his first even strength goal. But I think he's done okay so far.
Looking at more of your three-word weekends, it's a four-point weekend from Michael Donnelly. Lloyd on fire from Fiona Murray. Lloyd from Maeve Mulholland. I think we can see who everybody was delighted to see at the weekend. And Stephen Carshall said, didn't meet Cecil. That's unfortunate.
You know, sorry, just you know, all the one word answers there about Loiter, and take nothing away, absolutely dynamic, outstanding weekend. Mike Compton,
yeah,
was outstanding too. You know, there was some really good performances which only bode well, you know, going forward. And one, I seen an interview there with Daryl Lloyd during the week, and interesting because we talked about, we have had chats on the podcast in the past about backing up his physical play himself, and his interview went along the lines of, you know, what's it like playing with Adam Keefe? And he says, you know, it's like having a bodyguard out there, because if he sees Adam Keefe hitting someone, he wants to hit someone twice as hard, because he knows he doesn't have to answer the bell because Kiefer does it for him. So he can go around there with reckless abandon. And, you know, in hindsight, maybe we're wrong to say Daryl Lloyd should be backing up his own hard play, because he's going out there with that security blanket that Kiefer's going to do it for him. So maybe he, you know, let him do his job, let Kiefer do his, and just the two of them dovetail together well.
Looking at some of the stats that came out of that game, one of them really sticks out, the fact that Stephen Murphy's assist on the fifth goal for the Giants, was his sixth point as a Giant, and he now overtakes Mike Menard for the most points as a netminder in Giants history. And coach, that goal from Cody Brookwell, it's not one you see often in the game.
Definitely not. It was, you know, whenever you saw it rimming around the boards or whatever, and just the angle in which it took, it was just absolutely random. Like, we have seen some random ones over the years. I can remember a really random one with Lee Sorokin. Do you remember Sorokin back in the day?
From his own half?
Yeah. That was a random one. We obviously saw the likes of the Robbie Sandrox goal last year on Craig Kowalski, which you would just, 99 times out of 100, you just would never see.
Do you remember the one from Mel Engelstad on Phil O'Sare, which was sort of took a deflection way up into the sky? And O'Sare shut down, basically thought, you know, it was going into the netting. It came back down, hit off his back, and went into the net. That was one of the most bizarre I've ever seen.
Yes. Yeah. We've seen some bizarre ones, but listen, it's good to see. I think that was Cody's first goal of the season. That'll help him, because, you know, for someone like Cody, who was so immense last year, he's probably be the first to say that he's kind of feeling his way into this season so far. And, you know, listen, whenever the big guy starts hitting the straps, I've no doubt that he'll be another incredible value to our team moving forward in search of more championships.
Well, we've got a few post-game interviews from Andrew Lord, Steve Thornton, but first of all, we hear from the man we've just spoken about, Mike Compan.
Joined post-game by Belfast Giants forward Mike Compan. And Mike, a really good weekend there for the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, you know, it took, especially tonight, we had a few guys go down there in the third period, and we were down to six or seven forwards. And, you know, Murph played great. Everyone stepped up. And this weekend is something that the team needed, you know, to hopefully go in the right direction.
And certainly from your own perspective, three goals this weekend as well, maybe after a slow start by your own high standards.
Yeah, you know what, I'm glad I could help the team, but you know what, I never put too much pressure on myself with scoring goals and getting points, because I've been playing for 11 years now, and you go through ups and downs, and you know, I just learned that you got to try and stay consistent through those down periods and even through those up periods. So no, it's obviously good to help the team.
Obviously, after last weekend, beating the Coventry Blaze, which was great on the Saturday evening, but a very disappointing display against the Fife Flyers, it was important for the team to bounce back this weekend, and that's exactly what we've done.
Absolutely. I think it was a little bit of a wake-up call, you know, to remind everyone, especially myself. Last year, my team went 39-3-2, and we walked through the league. And you know what? Sometimes you got to have one of those losses to bring you back to reality, to know that what it takes to actually, you know, win the league title and win championships. So hopefully it was an eye-opener, and we're glad we got two wins this weekend.
And a special mention for Darrell Lloyd, two man of the match performances this weekend. He was absolutely superb.
Yeah, no, you know what? I think that's why this team's winning hockey games, is because that one line, they're are probably our best line right now, and they're going, and you know, it really, tonight they scored a big goal for us, that shorthanded goal. And no, if they're going like that and everyone else could play with their intensity, I think we're going to be pretty good.
Mike, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you.
Joined post-game by player coach of the Cardiff Devils, Andrew Lord. Coach, your thoughts at the end of that weekend overall?
Just total disappointment, to be honest. Played a lot of good minutes, but we just, you know, it was a really good lesson. We saw why they're a great team. They know how to win. They find ways to win. That's drawing penalties, you know, getting in behind our defensemen after we're dominating for 10 minutes and they get a breakaway, and you know, just literally, you know, five or six mental lapses, and they capitalize on about four of them. So very disappointing. And then obviously last night, same thing. We're doing really well there until the end of the last 12 minutes. They really turned the tide, and we didn't raise our intensity to match them.
That last night, Ben Bounds was absolutely superb in goal as well for you, a young British netminder making his way in the game.
Yeah, Bouncy's awesome. We love having him. He's he's an unbelievable character. He works hard every day. He's a true professional, and we're really lucky to have him. And I think he's only going to get better, you know, throughout this season. And he's gonna have a very bright future in this league and in hockey.
A real standout for us calling the games last night on Premier and also on the webcast this evening was Tyson Marsh, your captain. A real heartbeat off your team, and coming up with a couple of goals as well.
Yeah, Marsh is awesome. You know, he, again, just does everything well. work ethic, great guy. You know, tough as nails, and he's old time hockey really, and we love having him as well, and we're really lucky to have him. And he had a great weekend, and yeah, it was just not enough really across the board.
You mentioned there getting into a bit of penalty trouble. You know, was that a bit of disappointment at some of the calls from the officiating, or was that maybe down to the Belfast Giants just putting pressure on you and getting those calls?
Oh, I thought the officiating was fine all weekend. I reviewed all the penalties last night. We had a sit down and a video session. We were undisciplined last night. I thought we were a bit better tonight, but you know, against a really good team, you can't take those type of penalties, and that's what it did. Our penalty kill was actually pretty decent, but it just takes so much energy to kill. You know, our top players got to kill 9 penalties last night, and that you know, that affects our energy for that game, and also obviously our energy for tonight. So yeah, that was it was something we addressed, but it was definitely one of the reasons that we lost.
A real marked difference for me in the Cardiff Devils team of last year and this team that I've seen a few times now at the Odyssey Arena is that you guys will compete for a full 60 minutes, and as a player coach, that is all that you can ask of your team.
Yeah, it's definitely you know, that's one of our models for sure, is just bringing the intensity and, you know, giving it everything you got every day. And you know, for the most part we did that this weekend, but it's being smarter, and it's not always just about you know, work. You also got to be smart away from the puck. You got to read the game, you got to have good sticks, and you know, have a net front presence in the D zone a lot of the time. And we got away from that sometimes. We let guys behind us, and ultimately it was disappointing because we worked so hard, like you said, but we don't got nothing to show for this weekend.
As a case now of a couple of days off for the guys, rest up and hit the ice and practice this week and get ready for next weekend.
Yeah, we got some injuries, we're a bit beat up, but you know, it'll be good. We have an extra day here. We got Sunday off as well, so that'll help get the guys, hopefully have a full roster for next weekend.
Andre, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks very much.
Joined post-game by Belfast Giants head of hockey operations Steve Thornton, and Thornton, you've got to be a lot happier coach now after this weekend.
Yeah, I was a lot happier this weekend than I was last weekend. You know, it was a gutsy performance, you know, with a short roster. I think you got to give a lot of credit to Stephen Murphy. You know, 10 power plays against your best penalty killer has to be your goalie, and he definitely was tonight. They went for 10 on the power play, and they have a really good power play. They moved the puck around really well. Guys were in the shooting lanes blocking shots. Murphy made acrobatic saves, and we scored 2 shorthanded goals, which was, you know, a good performance. I think those are the ones that are a little bit of a team builder. Get a little bit of confidence back after last Sunday. We certainly won't take our foot off the gas in terms of the work ethic that we need in practice, because I think it paid off having a little bit more gas when we were rolling 2 lines.
And certainly tonight, a real noticeable thing for us calling the game was the level of physicality, both from our D and our forwards, which maybe has been lacking so far this season. Any reason why that has been the case?
No, I think we put a focus on it, you know, at the beginning of the year, when guys are tender, you know, in practice, you kind of you treat practice like that. So you're not doing the battle drills, and you just don't want any more injuries. And I think that kind of crept into our mentality a little bit, and we didn't really have an identity. And if we did have an identity, I think it was probably the wrong one. You know, trying to pass the puck in the net and pretty plays at the blue lines. And I think the team is. You know what? I mean, I think the identity is coming off what I would say probably our best line is right now. Like Keith and Lloyd, whoever they're playing with, whether it's Chevy or Garce, you know, they go hard and they go physical and they go on every shift and they're just energizers. And I think that's kind of the mentality that we have to have as a full team. And we did. You know, we talked about you're going to get hit when you play Cardiff, and we wanted to make sure that we hit them. We thought it was going to be more, you know, we hit them. We're going to get on the power play. We didn't realize that we were going to have to kill 10 penalties tonight and only have 2 power plays. But it was, you know, it was certainly a good test. It was a feel-good win, and I'm proud of the guys.
You've already mentioned Stephen Murphy. 2 other players that stood out for me over the course of the weekend were Mike Compton and Darryl Lloyd. Both those guys were absolutely superb over the course of this doubleheader weekend.
Yeah, I think Comps, you know, did a lot of the little things well. That, you know, he was obviously frustrated at the beginning of the season. He's a notoriously slow starter, and he's starting to pick his game up. The little things like face-offs, you know, he's strong on draws, and you know, he analyzes it and he studies, and you know, he keeps coming back to the board, checking his stats just to make sure that he knows who he's beating and who he's not. And those are the little details that I find that'll win you games. So, you know, especially in a game like tonight, where in the second period we were getting dominated and they're getting a lot of chances off face-offs, to know that you can throw out a guy like that, it's nice as a coach. Where Loiter is just, you know, full of energy, you know, 100% on every shift, 100 miles an hour. He's got finish on him. He's got more finish than I thought. I'm using him a lot. I think I'm tiring him out a little bit. I'm sure he's having a lot of fun, but he's making it difficult for me to take him off the power play right now.
You were visibly upset after last Sunday's defeat against the Fife Flyers, and the guys haven't had a day off, but I'm sure now you're going to welcome, you know, give them a couple of days off.
Yeah, I'll give them a couple of days off, yeah. I'm still going to work them hard this week, though.
Absolutely, and it's a case of giving the guys a couple of days off and then get ready for next weekend, the Dundee Stars roll into town.
Yeah, I think this is more recovery. I think the guys that need to get to the gym will get to the gym on the Monday. I think there'll be some guys at rehab on Monday as well. The guys, pretty sure, are going to enjoy this evening, and then it's back to work. Yeah, I think sometimes, like the game against Coventry on Saturday, it was a first place game. It was built up like that, and we got a little bit too high. And the highs, you just can't let the highs get too high. You can't let the lows get too low. So it was a 4-point weekend. We have to win our home games against a good team. They're going to be a really tough team to play in their own barn. But it's behind us now. You know, we've got a lot of things that we can get better. We can build off this, but we've got a big home game coming up to a team that we have to beat.
Thors, thanks for your time as always.
Thank you.
And thanks to the guys for the words after the game. If you want to see the highlights of the game, kingdomofthegiants.com for the highlights from Giants Live TV. Guys, one of the themes that seems to be recurring is what we'll deal with now, and something that I really picked up as well in that game on Saturday. I know that you, coach, were quite verbal, as was Sizz, about the fact that the referees weren't letting the physicality or the fights take place. And it's something that we've spoke about on numerous occasions, that you yourself, coach, you feel that fighting in particular is down this year.
Yeah, and I hear Mr. McGimsey has got a few statistics for us, which I'm looking forward to hearing. I haven't seen or heard of them as yet, but it is a recurring theme. And, you know, I think anyone that knows me, and you two guys probably in terms of hockey know me better than anybody, I have always been a fan of the physical aspect of the game. It was probably the thing that drew me in initially, like a lot of ice hockey fans. I'd be sitting watching that fighting league. No, I wouldn't, because I'm not there just to watch fights. I love the skill and the speed off the game as well as the physicality. And it's just something that I've really, really noticed in the elite league over the last few years, just the overall level of physicality, the level of checking. I'm not talking about just fights here. A lot of the time, general body-to-body contact, which you were always used to seeing, would then maybe in turn lead to fights in the game, which was very much and always has been an accepted part of the game. And I think that's nearly more my issue as opposed to the overall level of fights. You know, I look at it from a commercials aspect as well. And, you know, as I said, the thing that drew a lot of people in initially, in terms of buying a ticket to go and watch the Giants or whoever it may well be, their first hockey experience, was the fighting. And it's to me, it's just become very, very placid, too pally.
Do you think it's a case of, like, we look at this 4-man system that's been brought in, and we look at what took place on Saturday night and the incident, I think, that between Sawada and Haddad, I think. And in came the Stripey straight away, and both were punished, probably unfairly. And do you think that because this 4-man system, a lot of these minor altercations are being over-punished?
But you see, I'll take that question and let Davey fire ahead straight after. This is the thing that frustrates me. I watch a lot of the Bruins. Am I someone that sits like you guys and watches NHL, NHL? No, I'm not. But I will watch quite a bit of the Bruins games. And that type of thing isn't penalised in the NHL. like, it's just two guys coming together, a bit of a scrum, a bit of pushing and shoving, and away off they go. If there's no fight happening, away off you go. But in the Elite League, like Sawada, and I think, who was it you said, Haddad, that came together, a wee bit of pushing and shoving, a bit of a hack and a whack, nothing more, nothing less, neither player's injured, neither player's upset about what either player has done to each other, and they're both sent to the bin for 2 minutes. So I think it's an all-encompassing frustration of mine in terms of the physicality, the officiating, and the overall level of fighting. I think it all has a drip feed effect. Now, people would say that if the officiating is poor and the players get more and more frustrated, then that could lead to more fighting because players are just getting so annoyed. But I just think the officiating or the officials are just right on top of everything and punishing the slightest thing, which does not need to be punished.
Davey, one of the things we talked about is that in over the years, and one thing that you've brought up yourself is the question that, does the setup of the Elite League, the fact that we can't really have many luxury players, mean that these tough guys come into the league and then because they're forced to maybe do have more time on the ice than in the box, they start to lose their edge?
I think it's a reasonable question, that, Paddy. You've Adam Keefe there on a weekend just passed, comes up with a goal, comes up with an assist, you know, and probably when he first came to Belfast Giants, wasn't expected to be scoring game-winning goals or, you know, setting game-winning goals up. You know, he was expected to fulfil that, if you want to call it the enforcer role. And I definitely think that over the years, certain players have came to this league and realised at this level, they're goal scorers, they're set-up men, and that type of game they prefer to play. Now, I'm not saying Adam Keefe is going to drop them with anybody in the league that needs it done there and then, but there's definitely a question, I think, that, well, not a question, I definitely think there's a situation over the last number of years that the harder players have came to this league and realised it's a playing league rather than the QMJHL or whatever, you know, that you just have to go out and have a box every night. There's definitely an aspect of the EIHL is becoming more European in its style. It's definitely less North American in its style over the last number of years, which is surprising because it is still dominated by North American players.
It's interesting that I was listening to Anthony Urschel's brilliant Banners on the Wall podcast that started up, and last week he had Des Squires from Ice Baron on. One thing that I heard him say a couple of times that maybe I was a little bit surprised is the fact that he kept referring to the UK league as a fighters league. He kept saying, oh, you've got that tough fighters league where everybody's out just to see a punch up on a regular basis. And when I look at the Elite League and when I look at the EPL as well, it's far from that. And you see that the fact that, you know, I agree with you, I think it's becoming more of a players league or more of a skillful league, maybe drawing itself more in line with the European game, and that might turn a lot of people off the sport because they want the physicality, but it's about striking that happy medium, isn't it, Coach?
Very much so, and I think that happy medium tag is, sorry Davey, you're pouring yourself a G&T there.
Sorry, Coach.
Go on ahead, Davey, you have a tough 24 hours, man.
And I'll get seltzer, man.
The happy medium is probably the best way of putting it, certainly from my perspective. But the problem for me is the level of physicality just isn't there. The level of skill is super to watch. You know, I love watching the Jade Galbraiths, the Mike Compens, the Chris Higgins, the Ray Sawadas. I love watching these guys coming into our league, the Kevin Surrettes. You can rhyme off a pile of guys who are just, I watch other leagues and certainly the NHL. I know it's completely different. You're rolling four lines and all the rest. But like, just our overall level of body-to-body contact and finishing checks is at times quite astounding how little of it actually goes on. I'll pose this question to you. The Fife Flyers rolled into town. I know you hate me saying that.
Everybody rolls into town.
They came up Belfast Lock into the Odyssey Arena on the big Stena Line boat. And they came in 2 or 3 D-light from memory. A couple of D-light. So would that not have been a fairly obvious tactic? I think it was Simon at the time picked up on this on commentary. Would that not have been an obvious tactic from the Belfast Giants, Steve Thornton or Adam Keefe himself, to say, do you know what? They're rolling whatever it is, 4 or 5, 4D at the time or whatever. So, tell you what, I'm going to go out here and take Nickerson right out of the game here, straight away. Take him out of the game and, do you know what I mean, leave them short on D. Have their other Ds, you know, working extra hard and what have you. Maybe getting tired towards the end of the game and what. I just think our overall level of, in terms of actually going out to get the team motivated, which is the most important thing for me, whenever you're either defending a teammate or else you're trying to motivate your team to start. I hated the whole staged Sean McMorrow stuff. If you turned up 5 seconds into the game, that was the fight was done. He'd already fought Kevin Bergen. He'd already fought, you know, Brad Voth or whoever. But I just sometimes feel that we could be that wee bit more physical and we could drop the gloves that wee bit more.
One thing to say about that, yeah, I agree with you. Maybe it is a case of, as Keith, we should have gone after Nickerson. Should we have upped that physical game? But you take into account is what line scored the goal that we scored. It was Garside, Lloyd, Keith. You know, that they're obviously trying to pick up with their, you know, goal scorers as well as an energy line. I'm very interested to see how many times it is where we come up against like that short of D and where we actually go and chase down to try to take people out of the game, because it doesn't happen that much. In fact, the only player that I've seen in recent times that's done it really smartly has been Gareth Roberts in that preseason game where he took, was it Hotham, out of the game? Mm-hmm. And that was, yeah, that's exactly, he needed to go out there. He picked on their biggest, best D-man. He says, well, do you know what? My job here is to take you out of the game for 5 minutes. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, but look, there's Doug Clarkson and Sawada come together and both get chucked in the bin. Cardiff Devils are going, high five, well done, Big Doug, because you've taken Sawada out of the game there. Now, for me, I'm going to flip this slightly on its head and say, talk about Jeffrey Suárez. Surprise, surprise. Suárez has always had a really tough background. He is highly respected because of his toughness. There are a lot of guys in this league who did not want to fight him. Why did they not want to fight him? Because he had proven himself both as a goal scorer and as a fighter in the American League. He came into the Elite League 4 years ago and nailed a few guys, absolutely pummeled a few guys. So last year, nobody wanted to touch him. Now, Ray Sawada, I've noticed in a few games, people hacking and whacking at Ray Sawada. And if I was Ray Sawada, it's almost like the Theo Fleury effect. Do you remember Theo Fleury scored his hat-trick and then went for Thomas Adoya? Frank Adoya, sorry. Dropped the gloves straight away and got after him to kind of lay out a marker to say, do you know what, lads? I ain't going to be pushed about in this league. It's not going to happen to me. And I just sometimes, I don't know, I just sometimes feel that we're slightly on the back foot with that type of thing. Like a Doug Clarkson and Ray Sawada, you know, heading to the bit. We're losing out on that.
Do we?
I'm going to answer Coach with a few stats, because I've done them, so I may as well use them. Well, that being said, you know, Ray Sawada hasn't fought that much since he took that concussion. Maybe a bit more in his early career he fought, but since he took that bad concussion with Dallas Stars and he's came back, he hasn't really had that many fights. And you're maybe talking 10 over the last sort of 5 years. Not really, you know, overall. But yes, I agree with you. A guy that size maybe needs to set a marker down at this stage of the season. But anyway, in the ISL days, the average fights per season, Coach, in the 7 years of the ISL was 0.46 fights per game. So in the 14 years of the Elite League, it's staggeringly exactly 0.46. Fighting hasn't changed since the ISL days. It's exactly the same. Now, saying that, last year was a significant drop. It was the least number of fights in a season for over 10 years. Right back to almost the inception of the IHL, 2004, 2005, 2003, 2004 were the least 2 years for amounts of fights. Now, you've also got to factor in that there was less teams in the league and less games and stuff per season, but per game, you know, like last season, 2012, 2013, 147 fights. Last season, 107 fights through the season, so 40 fights less. You know, we shouldn't really be focusing on fights. We're here to play hockey, you know, but maybe there's less fights because the stripies are jumping in quicker, because they are nipping things in the bud, and guys don't want to fight because
If they fight January now, you look at the fight Kiefer had in Dundee at the start of the season, Plumpton slew foots him, Kiefer gets into him and gets an extra 12 minutes of penalty. He gets the instigator, he gets 5 minutes for fighting, and he gets 10 minutes misconduct. He sits for 17 minutes, virtually a whole period of the game. Guys maybe don't want to get involved in other occasions anymore because they're sitting on their backside all night instead of playing the game.
So then, just to finish off, root cause. Is the root cause the fact that it's a more zealous approach from the refereeing? Is the root cause because of like a rule change or a belief in the instigator rule has caused coaches to more focus more on hockey? Or is it just because we're not employing the guys like McMorrow, like Voth, like who are going to come in and, you know, smash somebody?
I think it's all of the above, Paddy. I think it's all those points that you raise are determining factors in the overall product that we now see week by week in the Elite League. I'm gonna flip it on its head. I'm gonna ask you a question. Do you think the overall level of excitement in terms, I'm talking about the overall, the whole package on the ice, is as exciting as it once was?
I think it's got better. I think there was after the first, I said, if you look at the first 5 years of the Elite League, I started to lose a lot of interest until the likes of, you know, when Fleury and all came through, that was a real peak. But then it started to fade away again because I felt that having enjoyed both the skill and the physicality of ISL hockey, I didn't think that the product that the Elite League had was any, well, it didn't match up for that. It really couldn't. The amount of money that was thrown at that, you know, all the imports that were coming in, some of the best players to have played in this country played in that league, but that was unsustainable. So the Elite League was established to try to make something sustainable. And I think in the last, say, 3 to 4 years, I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed the games. I thought that as skeptical as I was initially, the conference system has worked to try to build up the Scottish teams to the fact that we're now getting beat by 5-6-1 at the Odyssey Arena. And there aren't really that many games where you're going to go in and have a foregone conclusion. With regards to the product on the ice, I didn't enjoy the season with Sean McMorrow I wasn't a big fan of McMorrow or Rushton because you look at McMorrow, I remember stood next to Davey as we were getting destroyed in the Challenge Cup semi-final in Cardiff. And while we're losing the game quite badly, McMorrow's on the bench pretending to shoot people with his stick, like, you know, I'm the sheriff. Meanwhile, on the ice, he's trying to hit Jay LaTulip, and LaTulip's gone before he can even get anywhere near the plexi. You know, so those role players didn't entertain me in the slightest. However, with regards to Keefe, I think Keefe is exactly the sort of player we need, a guy with that physicality, the guy who can throw them down and it when needs be, but can also, you know, put in a pass, put in a goal, put in a shift when we need him on the ice. But it is swings and roundabouts. At this moment in time, to answer your question, after acting like you and talking for far too long on it, yes, I think the Elite League is as entertaining as it has been in many years.
But I'm not taking over your job here in any manner, shape, or form, but I'm going to throw this one to Davey. So you look at the likes of Adam Keefe in terms of his fighting production since he first arrived to now. Can you statistically throw me up any stats there as the level of fights that Kiefer's had? I've nearly bet my mortgage on it that it has decreased season on season on season. Why do you think that is, Davey?
Well, I'm not sure. Yes, I could give you the stats, yes. But I will start by saying that Belfast as a team, as an organisation, are by far the least, not physical, the least number of fights by considerable distance through EIHL history. I've done an analysis of the five teams that have been there from the start, Sheffield, Nottingham, Belfast, Coventry, Cardiff. And you take, unsurprisingly, the dirtiest team, being Nottingham, unsurprisingly. 377 fights versus 293 for Belfast. That's a significant swing. That's 84 fights more, you know, in a season. So, you know, we're coming up. Anyway, Adam Keefe, to answer your question, last season, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Last season, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Season before, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. The season before, and then you're back in his ECHL, which is just wow, you know. lots of it's long
so, game
and this season too. So he's, you know, 12-12-10 and two already this season. So he's not really.
So my final question on this is: if you were the general manager or whatever, the head coach or heavily involved in the management side of hockey, either with the Belfast Giants or with any team around the Elite League, is the lack of fighting, in your opinion, going to impact on your career? Sorry, let's talk about Belfast Giants, because Belfast Giants podcast. Do you think our overall level of product has affected our overall level of attendance in any manner, shape or form? Due to the fact that we're the least fighting team across the Elite League.
Sorry, Dave, I know you're going to ask. I'll just quickly say that I think a winning team brings in the crowds more than a fighting team. I think that's been proven through the years. The fact that I think that the likes of Sean McMorrow was brought in hoping that he would put bums on seats, and maybe he did bring a few bums on seats, but I've never seen the Odyssey packed out due to that. I have seen the Odyssey packed out due to championship winning sides.
You did see the Odyssey packed out for Barry Nicar against Paxton Shieldy, if you remember.
Well, that's true, but we're talking about the inception. That was at the very beginning of the Giants. Yeah. You know, I think in more modern times, I think that it's a case of when the Giants are a successful team, a team that are winning trophies, that is what's bringing people through the doors to sort of bask in that success. It would be interesting if, God forbid, it did actually start to decline. Would we try to become a more physical team to try to develop a crowd based on that, which is what we tried to do before, and it didn't necessarily work. So, it'd be interesting your thoughts on that, Davey.
Couldn't you've virtually taken the words right out of my mouth there. You know, success is what really puts bums on seats, and I think notorious, it's been talked about a lot, you know, it's notoriously hard to get crowds in at the start of the season. I think we're doing really well getting 3,500, 4,000 plus fans in at games, and the Sean McMorrow days were, you know, that was right from the get-go in the season, guaranteed fight night. That was to try and get punters in at the start of the season, and you come round towards the end of the season when we were going well in the league and we're going towards the playoffs, Sean McMorrow was already gone. Jason Rustin was brought in at a time the crowds were dwindling and we weren't really challenging for leagues or playoffs. You know, we were challenging for, well, it was a season we won cup interest and he scored a game winning goal in a cup semi-final against Coventry. Bless the fella. But you know, yes, I would rather have
at Dundonald.
I would far rather have the team we have now. Guys are carrying injuries, but we have guys like Cody Brookwell, Kevin Surrett, Ray Sawada, Davey Phillips, you know, Loiter if needs be, Adam Keefe. We have got big guys that are willing to answer the bell if and when required, and all of them can play hockey. Could we have, we've got a 12th import. Would I like that money to be spent on an out-and-out goon? No, I wouldn't. I think that there's gaps that can be filled in our team better than someone who just comes to play 3 minutes a night.
I'm not sure I would agree with you on all of the names that you just mentioned there in terms of will be willing or are willing to answer the bell. I accept your point in terms of big units and you know, guys who maybe play a reasonably physical game on occasions, but you know, to me, Keith is the only one that is genuinely showing that he's willing to answer the bell. Darryl Lloyd's not, like you've said it a million times, Darryl Lloyd ain't willing to answer any bell, Davey. Not in the slightest. He'll crash, bang, wallop. But as soon as somebody comes looking at him, there's a great picture which the Giants use as a promo. I think it was a pre-season Cardiff Devils game. Lloyd's getting in the middle of a melee. He's got about four Devils chasing him and he's freaking beating his way back to the Giants bench. So he is, you know, he's not going to answer the bell as much as I love that guy.
Well, I do agree with that. You know, I think it's a very emotive subject. I think it's one that a lot of people want to get involved with. If you want to give us your thoughts on whether the physicality is coming out of the game, at AVFTB on Twitter, or drop us an email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Guys, before we move on to talk about around the league, just a quick note. Tonight is the beginning of the regular season in the National Hockey League. And in the last couple of days, we've discovered that one of our very own, Bobby Robbins, has been chosen to be part of the starting squad for the Boston Bruins. And Davey, for a guy to come from the Elite League and to, for lack of a better term, fight his way up into the NHL is nothing short of remarkable.
It's fantastic for the guy, and it's fantastic, I suppose, that, you know, he's had that Belfast connection. And with the whole Boston-Belfast thing that's been going on for the last number of years, I think it's fitting that if he was going to go to any team in the NHL, it's ended up being Boston. You know, credit to him, he's had a tormentous time. If you read his blog and stuff, it's a great word. If you read his blog and stuff over the last few days, he hasn't had it easy. He's had his own personal battles, and he's proven that, you know, if you really, really want something, you can do it. And, you know, credit to him. I hope it goes really well for him tonight. I still think it's a shame that Bobby Robbins will probably get to the NHL by going out there and trying to clog somebody in his first shift. You know, that's how he's going to keep his job, but that's how he's got there. He spent the last number of years, is it in Portland probably, fulfilling that role. But he's made it to the show, he's got his big contract, and he deserves everything that comes his way now. I can only say good luck to the fella.
Coach, you're a Boston Bruins fan, and I think back to when Steve Thornton actually brought Bobby Robbins into the Belfast Giants and the sort of physical battles that he did have. And one that pops into my head is the ongoing physical battle he had with Andre Payette. Now Payette is with the Steel Dogs, and Robbins is with the Boston Bruins. And let's hope that Bobby has a long lasting career there.
Yeah, absolutely. What's he now? 32, 33 years of age, you know, and as Davey quite rightly said, you know, he has literally battled his way right up to the show. You know, I read some more of his stuff actually today. You know, whenever he left Belfast, he had a couple of years over in Europe as well, you know, or over in, I can't remember where he said he was, maybe Finland or something, Slovenia or something like that. And he said it was his darkest times, just kind of left on his own throughout the course of the winter, you know, his addiction to tobacco and all that type of stuff. It was fascinating. It was like a blinking book. It just kept going and going and going, this blog. And, you know, I also read something a few days ago where he mentioned, like, he knew he was on the crest of making the show or been given a really good chance, especially after Sean Thornton was released. And he spent all summer, he barely took any time off, and he was just with a skating coach all summer long to improve his overall level of skating, because he knew it wasn't up to the NHL standard. And he said, like, he has improved his skating immeasurably even since the back end of last season. You know, and listen, it's a brilliant story. It's a guy who has just persevered, wanted to get something, and he's damn well stuck at it. He's worked his backside off and got his just rewards. And, you know, here's hoping that he's there all season long.
Well, the Boston Bruins open against the Philadelphia Flyers before travelling to the Joe, where they'll lose to the Red Wings. So it will be really good to see if Bobby Robbins gets many shifts in that. And well done to him, one of our own making it to the show. Guys, let's look around the league. The Panthers' foray into European competition has come to an end. They took on the Hamburg Freezers in Hamburg last night and were subject to a 6-0 shutout defeat. They've ended the tournament with one win, bottom of the group on goal difference. But then when you look at other teams that have got to the bottom of the group, two of which I'm seeing this weekend in Eisbären Berlin and Ingolstadt, you know, it's a tough competition, coach, and, you know, they held their head up high.
Yeah, they did, and, you know, picked up that victory against Hamburg over at the NIC. I think that's all that Nottingham Panthers fans would have really expected or wished for out of it. You know, the likes of Lelea and Luco Roma, they were superb to watch. They really were. And, you know, it was probably a bridge too far in terms of overall quality for the Panthers. But fair play to them. As we've said on a few occasions, they've taken the bull by the horns and gone ahead with the investment that is playing in the CHL. And, you know, they've acquitted themselves well. I think they've made plenty of friends around European hockey as well.
One of the other things to note from the CHL that I found out was that Jeffrey Swayze, who's of course with Ingolstadt, trying to get himself a more permanent deal with them, which I think he's doing very well. He finished with 3 points from the 6 games, scoring in the last one, Davey.
High quality player. He proved last season, you know, the old adage we have here, stats don't lie. Okay, we thought at times the guy could have been more physical, and he wasn't the player that he was 4 years ago. But he's gone to Germany and proved that it's still in the locker. You know, he came here last season and they have a fantastic amount of points, game-winning goals, and he scored big goals in big games. But he also disappeared in a few big games. And that was probably the difference between Suez from 4 years ago. Whenever it was a big game, He was the go-to guy. He was the big dog. And, you know, ex-Belfast Giant player, you can only wish him luck. I hope he sticks in Germany, or, you know, he can come back and be our 12th import any day of the week.
I'm looking forward to this Friday, where I'm travelling over to Berlin to see Eisbären take on Ingolstadt and Jeffrey Swayze at Ingolstadt side. Of course, I'll be wearing my Eisbären scarf. The league's biggest, most fearsome rivalry resumed this weekend. 5-1 both games over Edinburgh, which is the second one being an OT win at Murrayfield. Meanwhile, in the most persistently overhyped battle, Nottingham were beaten by Sheffield 4-2 at the Motor Point. With regards to the Department of Player Safety, the suspension to Nathan Robinson for one game after an unsavoury high sticks episode on Andrew Lord. Any of you guys see what happened there?
I think he was lucky enough to get one game.
You think so?
Yeah, I would concur with that as well. And I think, you know, judging by the likes of Jono's tweets, as well, Jono Bullard's tweets from the Cat's Whiskers, I think he would concur with that as well. I think he was pretty lucky just getting one game.
You can check out the Department of Player Safety's videos on YouTube and judge for yourself. Finally, the Elite League have announced the decision to allow each team to have a captain and three alternates instead of two. Tony Smith, the chairman of the league and owner of the Sheffield Steelers, said, "Dialogue between the players and officials is important in any ice hockey game. By implementing these changes, the Elite League believes it will improve that dialogue. This can only be of benefit for the Elite League moving forward." Davey, everybody seems to want to get into the face of the referee, and we've more referees now. Is this a good move?
Meh. It's
exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, not bothered.
It gives you the opportunity to almost always have a captain or an alternate on the ice, which is only a good thing. You're not, you know, having to have somebody come off the ice and be that extra man, muddies the water. I'll give you, you were at the games, coach. Can you tell me who the Giants' third alternate captain is?
I asked Steve Thornton before doing the Premier game on Friday night, and he said he has not selected his third as yet, and you did not have to select a third either. So,
interesting that they're named on the game sheet.
Oh. Right. Okay. Well, that was a conversation I had with Thornton before the game. So, who was the third in?
Our captain.
Yeah, what are you asking me for? That was just a wee question.
Adam Keefe's captain, obviously. Calvin Alfring, Kevin Surratt, and Colin Shields are named as the alternate captains on my game sheet from the Cardiff game of the week.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that, can you? Those guys are well experienced.
But as we say, it's a bit of a. It's almost a moot point. You know, these are the only guys who can talk to the referee. Fair enough. One of those guys is more than likely to be on the ice at all times. Shields and Surratt don't play on the same line. Keefe doesn't play on the same line as each other. And, you know, Elfring's a D-man. So there's a good chance that one of those four will be on the ice. So obviously the system might work. So whatever.
It's a bit of a development from the Elite League. You got to hold your hands up and say, you know, at least they're trying something. Even if it is a bit meh.
are you the same, coach? Just whatever?
Yeah.
Not
bad. All right, guys. Well, then, on that bombshell, let's look at this Saturday night. The Belfast Giants prepare for their forthcoming trip to Bremerhaven with only one game this weekend against Jeff John Hutchinson's Dundee Stars, 7 p.m. at the Odyssey Arena in what is an Elite League and Challenge Cup matchup. I will point out that the Belfast Giants have already qualified for the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup because Edinburgh can't get enough points to remain in the competition. However, they're still playing for their place, where first, second, third, or fourth in the group. At one of these points, guys, I'm going to pay attention. The Dundee Stars have 4 wins from their opening 10 games in all competitions, but they've been hurt by the fact that Jade Galbraith, signed at the beginning of the season, has been unable to join them due to visa issues. And coach, it's been a bit difficult for the Stars of late.
Yeah, they've had a pretty difficult start to the season. I think whenever everybody saw the kind of team that Jeff John was putting together, especially with probably Jade Galbraith as a central focus, certainly in the forward play, you know, it was a real statement of intent. You know, you never knew with Jade whether or not he's going to turn up in great physical condition or not, but his overall skill set was there for all to see for many, many years in a Panthers and in a Brayhead jersey. But it's been a difficult start to season. You know, we know ourselves, and we've seen it on plenty of occasions. Look at Fife. Fife had a disastrous start to last year and then ended up being the team that everyone wanted to avoid towards the end of last season. They had a brilliant second half of the season, and I'm sure Geoff John will be, you know, even though we're 6 weeks into the season, I'm sure Geoff John will change things about. But that's going to be a difficult game. And, you know, we've said it a million times. It sounds very cliched now, but there's no easy games in the Elite League now. And, you know, we've got to be on our guard because, you know, you look at tonight, even Sheffield against Hull there, you know, they're, you know, the Hull pushed the Sheffield Steelers, you know, for large parts of that game. You know, you marry those two teams up in terms of looking at the quality of both teams, you would instantly say a Sheffield Steelers or a Belfast against Dundee, Belfast should win that game. But you take a night off, a Belfast Fife, you're going to get punished. So, you know, we've got to make sure we're ready to go on Saturday evening.
Davey, the Dundee Stars have some, you know, despite the fact that they've had a bit of a slow start to the season, despite they've only returned 40% in wins, they have got players there that, you know, we know well, regards to Matt Ryan, Martin Single. Plumpton in defence is a big unit who's always been a bit of a menace at the Odyssey Arena. You know, McCluskey played well last season for them as well. The Dundee Stars aren't a bad outfit.
No, and I think at the top of your point where you said, you know, Jade Galbraith not coming in has hurt them, that has been a big, you know, a big blow to them with Swindlehurst being in America as well. But the likes of Martin Single has scored points in this league for donkey's years. They've got good goaltending. Matt Ryan's, you know, has got speed to burn. They're, as coach says, you cannot take a night off. You can't take a shift off against teams in this league this season because you get punished. And it's maybe a good thing that the likes of Compton is coming into hot form. Darragh Lloyd is hot at the minute. Cody Brookwell didn't cover himself in glory on Friday night, but had a much, much improved game on Saturday. You know, just starting to ease into the style of play that we expect from him. With players really starting to hit their straps now, and, you know, I would expect, without being too, you know, big head is the wrong word, I would expect
blasé.
Blasé. Thank you, coach. You've got the thesaurus out there in front of you. I would expect us to have too much depth for Dundee on Saturday night.
A few stats from Alan Hammy Hamilton. Evan Chevrey, this game is scheduled to play his 700th career game, but given Hammy's history with Chevrey's stats, I'll take with a pinch of salt. Give out a double check there, Hammy.
I do this. You do that.
Davey Phillips is scheduled to play his 200th game as a Giant. Mike Compton has entered the game with 4 points in his last two games. And Darragh Lloyd, who we've spoke about at length, enters the game with 8 points in his last five games. There you go, lads. The two guys that we spoke about having really good, you know, really good last weekend are the two guys who are probably on the best streaks.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know I've said this to you guys. You know, Mike Compton, his quality is proven right across Europe. You know, stats don't lie.
Ding.
You know, and he's a quality acquisition. I tell you what, it's not even just what he provides on the ice, off the ice. And I know I've said this to you guys, an absolute gentleman, one of the nicest, friendliest guys you will ever meet away from the rink is Mike Compton. You couldn't feel the like the guy. Brilliant ambassador for the club. You know, he'll always represent the club well, both on and off the ice. And, you know, Lloyd, as you quite rightly say, we've waxed lyrical about him throughout the course of this podcast. He's just been the player of the season thus far for the Belfast Giants.
Well, the game against the Dundee Stars is at 7. I just love leaving that. Just pause now, coach. It's now become a bit of a thing. The game against the Dundee Stars is at 7 p.m. at the Odyssey Arena. Get yourself down there. And if you absolutely can't get down there, you know, join Sizz this week. We must be alone, coach, because you're not about. On Giants Live TV.
I think Nigel Ringland's joined them this Saturday
away
at the cricket dinner, yes.
Nigel Ringland of BBC's Fantastic Face Off programme is the, you'll join them on Giants Live TV. Guys, any other business?
I said, well, I noticed that you were getting very fractious on Twitter there, Paddy, just before we came online to do Sheffield Steelers.
Well, I suppose I should have brought this up in the Around the League section, but the Sheffield Steelers had to move the game against the Dundee Stars due to, of course, their well-publicised ice problems at the Motorpoint Arena.
Now, they've rescheduled that game. I think it's the next couple of weeks. But a lot of people who haven't been able to make that game but bought a ticket for the originally advertised game have went to get refunds, only to discover that on top of the £1.50 admin charge they were charged for buying the ticket, they've been charged another £1.50 for getting their refund. I think it's a bit much, really. I think it's ridiculous.
I was going to leave a pause there just to annoy you, but I couldn't agree more. I'll not... Sheffield Steelers will probably blame the Motorpoint Arena on this occasion.
It was the Sheffield Steelers. Yeah, it was the Sheffield Steelers, though, who, when the ice was fixed, despite the fact that it was probably all down to the arena, were held their hands up to say, "Hey, look, the Sheffield Steelers have fixed the ice. Aren't we wonderful?" And it doesn't work both ways. Yeah, I think with regards to the integrity of the Sheffield Steelers, for them to basically take £3, or even if it is the Motorpoint Arena, for them to take £3 off people for buying a ticket and then not showing it as advertised, I think it's an absolute disgrace.
I'd pay £3 not to watch either of them, to be fair.
Well, unless there's anything else, gentlemen, on that angry bombshell.
Have a nice week, guys.
And you too. Take it easy, guys.
Have a good weekend, Patrick. Enjoy the stag do.
Well, don't you worry, coach. I will. Thanks to Davey and coach, as always. Thanks to Steve Thornton, Andrew Lord, and Mike Compton for their comments. As we've said, only one game this weekend, Saturday night, 7 PM at the Odyssey Arena. The Dundee Stars are in town. Get yourself down, and if you can't get down to the Odyssey for the game, don't forget you can join Sizz this week. And no coach, he's off enjoying other things. And Sizz this week on Giants Live TV, 7 PM. Of course, you want to get in contact with us, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. That's the website. @AVFTB on Twitter. Keep your 3-word weekends coming in. And of course, soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all of our interviews. We'll catch you again next week, wherever you are this weekend. We hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll see you next time. All of you from the bridge.